the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this podcast. And in this podcast, I wanted to talk about why most people fail at generating wealth. And it's really important because whenever I have coaching sessions, it's always a reminder as to what's going on out there in the real world. My world is generally a little bit different because I've already got assets that are generating enough income that covers all my expenditure, you see. So I don't have to get up and go to work. I do run my coaching business, which I absolutely adore doing, and I love doing it. We do webinars and we have a mastermind event once a month, and I absolutely adore doing them, and I love the people that come to them and I get engaged with them. I don't get married to them, but I engage with them and find out what's going on. And my job is to help them through whatever it is that's going on and help them on their journey into generating more wealth. But we really fall into three areas of failure, okay? So the first part is, so we've always got these three rules. The rules are, number one, cut your costs. This is where most people fail. They have no idea how much money they're spending each and every month. None whatsoever. They just know it's more than they're earning. Well, that's not good enough. It's totally not good enough. You've absolutely got to write down every single thing that you spend, right down to the nearest penny. And you do that for next month and the next month and the next month, and you start having budgets in place for how much you can spend on everything. That's the first step. It has to be the first step. Everybody seems to want to go out and discover a new way of doing something, creating a new business and generating more cash. Now, generating more cash is number two on the three for three rules of wealth. But generating cash is fine. But if you're generating lots and lots of cash, but you still don't know what you're spending, it doesn't matter how much cash you're going to generate, you're potentially going to run out of money because you have got no idea as to how much money you're actually spending each month. So that's why number one is actually the most important aspect here. You have to be starting to save, and you've got to be recording how much money goes out of your account. Now, the difference between the amount that you save and the money that you generate, whatever that gap is, that then moves us into rule number three, which is to invest the rest. That gap, that's how much you should be investing. But what a lot of people tend to do is they look at investing and they're saying, well, I get a 12% return on that per year. And yet, they're in a situation with debt where they've got credit cards at 20% and loans at 15%. And they're investing their money into an asset that's going to generate 12%. Well, you're either 3 or 8% down each year. How's that going to work over a compounded rate of 20 years? It's not going to work well for you at all. And it's a term that I made up, I think. I don't think anyone else is using it, but I call it disinvesting. Disinvesting is what most people are doing. If you think about weight loss, for example, if you're going to the gym and you're watching what you eat, this is exactly the same principle. Watching what you eat is the same as cutting costs. Generating cash is the same as going to the gym. And the difference between what you're watching on what you're eating and you're going to the gym, that difference there is what's being invested into your health. And most people, they're disinvesting in their health by eating all the bad foods, they're not watching what they eat at all, and they're not going to the gym, so they're disinvesting in their bodies. And that compounded over a 20-year period, well, that's why we end up with an obesity problem in the UK. So this idea of disinvesting, before you start looking at, well, I'm getting a 12% return on that, you've got to write down all of your debts. And I know it's boring. You know, if you've got £20,000 worth of credit card debt made up of 5 credit cards at 4 grand each, that's really dull. I get that. But actually, that's the kryptonite that's stopping you from moving forward. So one of the first steps is to generate a plan. Now, I'm not saying that you have to pay off that credit card debt immediately and that be the first thing that you do. Because what we're talking about is compounding over a period of time. And so the journey isn't you wake up one morning and you try and do this for a year and that's it. The journey is 20 years worth. It's 30 years, 40 years. The journey can be generational. So the idea is that you pay down your mortgages and then you put the properties into a trust. So then your kids can't sell them. They can just live off the cash flow from those properties, which should be increasing each year because rents always increase, generally, over a long period of time. Sometimes they fluctuate like anything does. But generally, over the next 30, 40, 50, 100 years, that £400 a month will turn into 6, 8, £1,200, £2,000. Your great-great-grandkids will be making £4,000 a month off that little local housing authority house that you've bought for £50,000 today. And that £50,000 house will be worth, I don't know, £2 million in 100 years or 1,000 years or who knows. But once you get into that asset, then that's yours. But it's compounded over a long period of time. So, and this is what's really important to differentiate as well, by the way, is that if you're going, well, I'm buying and selling property, and so I'm investing in property, you are buying and selling, but you're not investing, you're trading property. And trading property is a business, not an investment. And it's really important to differentiate and understand exactly what you're doing. If you're buying an asset and you're going to keep that asset for a couple of years, minimum, up to 25, 30 years, then that's investing in an asset. If you're buying a property to do up and sell, then you're trading. If you buy a car, you do that car up and sell that, then you're trading cars. If you buy a Ferrari, whatever, GTO, whatever, 1968, £2 million Ferrari, and you're going to keep that for 10 years, or if you buy artwork, I was just having a conversation with a client who's got a Picasso available for £1.5 million, and most Picassos go for £7 million. Now, I've got no idea about artwork. I wouldn't know Picasso from, I'm trying to think of another artist, and I can't think of any from the BBC who haven't actually been sent to prison, so there you go. So, so this is the key here, is to understand, first of all, what it is that you're doing. Now, if you're trading properties, that's great, because that's a really fast-track way of clearing down that credit card debt, and then you're in a position to start buying for investing purposes. I'm hoping this makes sense. And if it is, then drop me a line. And if it's not, explain to me which part of this is not making sense, because I'll give you the answer back. I'll email you personally back because I want you to have the answer to this. I need you to understand why some people get wealthy and some people don't. So some people get wealthy because they curb their spending. And I know that to be a millionaire, you look like you should have Ferraris and penthouses and places overseas, and you go out for £1,000 night out and that sort of thing, right? I get that. And actually, I've done some of that myself. And when I look back at some of the stuff I've done and some of the money that I've spent on ridiculous things, I've had £1,000 night out. It was a great night out, apparently. I don't remember much. We had a limo, lots of champagne, a night out at Stringfellows. It was lots of fun. I don't remember it. Not a bloody clue. But that £1,000, that was, you know, 12, 13 years ago. That £1,000, what would that have compounded to now? We stick that into a compound calculator. What would that be? That could go into an investment that could last for another 25 years. But no, I've spent it. 80 quid bottles of champagne or 100 quid, whatever it was. Ridiculous, stupid. I mean, I get that we're all young at some point, and I get that we all do things that sometimes we think, in hindsight, maybe we shouldn't have done that. I get that, right? But this is the key. Why are some people wealthy and some people aren't? So those that are wealthy, they don't need the Ferraris and the Porsches to begin with. They can have them later on when their wealth is paying for them. But most people, they believe they're wealthy because they're earning a large income. That's not wealth. Unless you've got an asset that's generating that income, that's not wealth. Because you have to go to the job Monday morning. You've got to do it this week, next month, next year, in the next decade. That's not wealth. That's exchanging your time for money. And again, don't get me wrong, I still exchange time for money. When I'm doing coaching, I'm exchanging time for money. It's a lot of money, but I'm still exchanging time for money. But also on my property investments, which I've bought and I've had for 17 years when I first started 17 years ago, I'm still exchanging some time for money. On the whole, mostly, I've outsourced that, so we've got handymen and we've got people do viewings and move-ins and so on. But I still have to get involved every so often to make decisions. I still do the spreadsheet every day when I'm looking at my cash flow and my profit and loss and what's coming in and what's going out. So I still do that. But I'm still exchanging time for money. And most people do. It's fine to look at Lord Sugar and who's the other guy? Richard Branson or Robert Kiyosaki talk about passive income. Robert Kiyosaki in particular. But how much of Robert Kiyosaki's income is actually passive? I'm guessing this guy works 12-hour days. So it's not that passive, is it? So property is pretty close to it, but it's not completely passive. But why are some people wealthy and some people aren't? Well, some people are wealthy because instead of spending the money on that night out or that nice car, they'll save that money and put it into something that can then generate more cash. It doesn't even have to be a lot. It can be just something to get you started. So for example, you could invest in wind farms. Wind farms will give a guaranteed 12% return over a 10-year period. Guaranteed. The energy has actually already been sold. They just need the money to buy the actual windmill. they just need the money to build the thing in the first place. They've already sold the energy to one of the big six energy companies here in the UK over a 10-year period. So it's pretty much a guaranteed, unless something dramatically goes wrong and aliens land and destroy them all, you're pretty much guaranteed a 12% return over a 10-year period. So you can start investing small, but you've got to start thinking about the debt that you've got, otherwise you're just disinvesting. So if you're investing 12% into wind farms and your credit cards are 20%, and you haven't yet got a plan for paying down that credit card, no plan at all, then you're going to lose over the long term. Because if a credit card's 20% and the wind farms are bringing you in 12%, you're 8% down, compounded over 20 years. Now, you can invest in both areas at the same time. So you can start paying down the credit card. So for example, if you've got five credit cards at £4,000 each, so that means that to pay down the first credit card, you've got to be paying over and above the minimum rate, you've got to be paying £400 a month. Now, if you can afford that, what that means is that in 10 months' time, you've got rid of one credit card. And then you can move that £400 onto the next credit card. And any savings that you're making from the minimum payment can also go to it. So it might be £478 a month. So you might only need 9 months to make that second credit card go. But in the meantime, you could also be generating additional cash that then goes into an investment. So let's just talk about some of the things that you can do to generate additional cash. So like a business, starting a business. Now, this is what's really important, and a lot of people get this wrong. When they're running a business, they're just trying to sell as much as they can. And now, obviously, that's how you make money in business, but there's a whole process before you get to the stage of trying to sell as much money as you can, and I'd just like to cover that. Because we've covered quite a lot in the first sort of 12 minutes of this podcast, so I'm really happy about that. For this particular session. But if you want to drill down and you want to come on to one of my webinars, then speak to me and let's get you on. We've got a webinar called Breakthrough to Success, for example. It talks about just this sort of thing, and it's on the website at www.daniellatto.co.uk. So go and take a look at that. We've got other webinars. We've got webinars on health. We've got webinars on lease options. We've got all sorts of stuff on there that's free of charge that you can sit and listen. It'll last for an hour, 2 hours, and it's an opportunity for you to go and learn. And then afterwards, come and find me on Facebook on my fan page or drop me an email at me@daniellatto.co.uk. So that's me@daniellatto.co.uk. And I'll answer the question, whatever it is that you're stuck on. I'm here to serve you. So let's just talk about business, because this is what's really important. So most people think you just go out and sell as much as you can. Whilst in principle, that's fine. There's, as I said, some items that you need to cover just before you do that. So the first thing that you've got to be doing is you've got to be attracting potential leads. So anything that you're doing for generating cash, anything that you're doing. So for example, as you may know, I've just lost some weight. I'm very happy about that. And it's a product called Juice Plus. And I'm in a coaching session and I get a health coach with it. And it's brilliant. It's less than 100 quid a month. Nice and easy. Now, I've actually brought on other people who have signed up for that diet and they've lost weight. One lady lost 4 pounds in just last week, despite having a McDonald's and a Nando's. She lost £4 in just 1 week, and another guy's come on board and he's actually reselling this as well. So that's a business. It's a multi-level marketing business, a network marketing business, and I'm not keen on MLM or network marketing businesses, I'll be really honest with you. But because this product actually worked for me, I thought, do you know what? I've been looking for something for clients that will help them generate cash and will also help them solve a particular problem for other people that they need that problem solving. Something that's good for the environment, good for the people, and let's face it, weight loss. You feel better, you look better, you feel more confident, you tend to feel happier. Yeah, you need to go out and buy some clothes, but that's quite enjoyable too. And so that's why I signed up for this, and we're bringing people on. And so it's called Juice Plus. It's on the website. We've got a two-hour webinar about taking a 12-week challenge, which you can do, by the way. You can just go onto the website and take a look at that. But let's say I want to push Juice Plus. Now, I don't push it hugely. If people want it, then they can find out about it and they can sign up for it. It's 100 quid a month and it's great, right? You start losing weight almost instantly in the first week, in fact, like this other lady did. But if I was going to push this, and if you've not got a business yet, then speak to me about this one because this might be suitable. But even if you're a plumber or a hairdresser or whatever it is that you are, these are the things that you need to be doing. So there's 2, 4, 6, 7 things that you need to be doing here. Okay, the first one is you've got to be attracting clients. So you've got to be... Now, we call this whole thing a sales funnel. The whole process here is called a sales funnel. So it's a funnel that leads to a sale. So the first part is attracting interest. Now, the podcast that you're listening to is part of my sales funnel. Because what happens is people listen to a podcast and they go, I like this guy, I want to find out more, and then they come and speak to me. We have a strategy session together for 45 minutes. And they come and speak to me and have a strategy session, which is a 45-minute session to see if they want to work with me and be part of the Millionaire Mastermind group that we run here in the UK. So the podcast is just one of those. The other things that you'll notice I do on my website, we do lots and lots of videos. 4 or 5 minute videos, always giving some piece of advice. Sometimes it's health, sometimes it's mindset, sometimes it's property, sometimes it's business. Sometimes it's an inspirational type of video. Sometimes it's a Tony Robbins video that we share, but it's on our website. But we're always driving people, traffic, back to our website. We put those videos out on Facebook, on Twitter, so we use social media. We use email marketing. But all of this is to attract interest. Now, the webinars that we offer, for example, the replays, you have to sign up for those. On the whole, the health ones, you don't have to, but the others, you have to sign up for. So we get an email address. So now that helps us capture leads. The lead being the email address. So now that we've got an email address in our emailing system or our database or whatever it is that you have, if you haven't got this, this is what you need to be doing in your business. Now that we have that, we can nurture those prospects. So we can speak to those prospects, we can send them the latest webinars such as this one, we can send them the latest videos, we've got articles online on the website that talk about how to market your business. And so we help people, we give them information. And then once we've listened to the information, we invite them to come on board for a strategy session, see if they want to work with us. See if they want to be part of a Millionaire Mastermind group and learn to cut the cost, generate cash and increase the wealth. And that's how it works. We're nurturing these people. Then when we get them to a strategy session, now a strategy session could be a sales meeting for you, but we then convert the sale. That's our job. And once we've converted that sale, then our job is to both deliver and satisfy that client. So we call that the deliverability. So the deliverability, I can't say that word, my deliverability is we do 2 webinars a month, we do a mastermind day once a month, and we get a Skype coaching call for each client. And so that's the deliverability for us. It's very achievable for us to do, it doesn't take a huge amount of time. And then after that, and we don't actually do this, although we have a few little things that we can do, but we can upsell the customer. And then the last item here is to ask that customer for a referral. Do you know anybody else who might benefit from being in a mastermind group? Your hair looks really nice. Do you know anyone else who would benefit from a really nice haircut? Your boiler's blown up. Do you know anybody else? So I can fix it for you. Let's get that fixed. And once it's fixed, do you know anybody else that's struggling with their boiler, maybe needs a service? Because we'll give a free service on their boiler in the month of December. So there's lots of different things that you can do here, but this is the sales funnel. Now, the key is that you've got to write down the sales funnel. So for me, I've got written down what my social media marketing plan is going to be. So the attracting interest bit is written down on several sheets of paper, and then I can implement that into my time management system. I've then got an automatic system that I've thought about as to how that's going to work to capture leads. So I use ActiveCampaign, I use GoToWebinar to drive traffic to webinars and so on, and this podcast goes into an ActiveCampaign list. And then I can nurture prospects, and I do that through social media and email. And then I've got a system for converting sales, which I call the strategy session, and that's to help people decide whether they want to actually come on board or not, and to increase their wealth, decrease their costs, and so forth. And we have some tremendous results in that program. And then we deliver. We've got a set process for delivering our product. And it's a very good system for delivering the product that gets results. But we have systems for everything that we put in place here. Most people, they place an advert in a newspaper and try and sell something straight off that advert, and then wonder why it's not going to work. And that's not the best way to run your business. So look, this is why most people fail at generating wealth. They create this business and they say something like, well, now I can work, I'm self-employed, I can work whenever I want. And I'm like, yeah, like all the time. And that's not why most people went into business. They went into business to create some freedom for themselves. And all they've got is more work, less time, more hassle. And it's usually because they haven't actually thought through this seven-step process. Attracting interest should be a system for that. Capturing leads, how are you going to do that? Can you use text messaging, SMS messaging, for example? Is that a method that you could use to capture email addresses? Well, it is a method, but are you using it? Nurturing prospects, what are you doing to keep in regular contact with people who are interested or listened to your advice or whatever it is that you do? What's the system that you've got for conversion of your sales? How are you delivering and satisfying? How can you add even more value to it? So one of the things that we did in my business was we were doing two webinars a month plus a Skype coaching call. And then one evening we had an evening meal, and it was coinciding with one of my flights. So we had an evening meal and everybody came out. We had quite a lot of people at the restaurant. One long big table in the middle. It was really nice. Sort of took over the restaurant. It was really nice. And then it occurred to me, that's a really nice thing to add. Free of charge for our mastermind members that's included in their subscription fee. That's additional value that they didn't expect that they now get. And so now we run these. We start at 2 p.m. currently and we'll run all the way through to 10 p.m. It's on a Monday afternoon, it's in Stansted, and it works really well. And people leave their jobs or leave their work to come to the mastermind events, even though it's on a Monday and not a weekend. And people actually do that. And so that was me looking at how much additional value can I provide to this client? How much additional value can you provide for your clients? So on Juice Plus, for example, you can buy Juice Plus from anyone, but you can't get the coaching from anyone. To get the coaching from my health coach, you can only go through me or my health coach to get that. And it's a 1 hour group coaching session on a Sunday morning, and you get a Facebook group where there's lots of people posting in and helping each other. And it's an awesome group. One of the reasons I lost so much weight is because of the power of the group and the group coaching that we get. If I'd just done the Juice Plus on its own, I probably would have failed in my weight loss. So that's the extra deliver and satisfy. What's the extra stuff? What's the extra value that you can bring to your clients? What if you did a webinar, or what if you did like a group coaching webinar once a month for 2 hours? And if you don't know how to do it, you soon learn. If you don't know how to do something, you go and do it. You find out how you failed, and then you improve the next time. And the fourth or fifth time, you'd be awesome at it. Definitely by the 100th time. Even if you suck right at the start, it doesn't matter. People will listen to what you've got, if it's valuable, if it's going to help them. But you've got to have these systems in place, and so there's a lack of systemization. So when we talk about doing your spreadsheet every single morning to see what's coming in, what's going out, I've already done mine this morning, 25 past 10 in the morning. I've already done my spreadsheet. I've already drunk a litre of water. I've had my shake. I've got systems in place for what I should be doing. Because when you've got systems in place, that's when success comes. So when I'm looking at cutting costs or managing my costs now, because they're cut pretty much to the bone where possible, and sometimes they spiral out of control again because I've signed up for stuff, then I've, you know, a month later, I'm like, why did I sign up for that? Some special offer, or because I'm constantly learning like everybody else. I'm constantly signing up for more education programs to make me a better coach. But so I have to then go back to the spreadsheet and go, okay, I'm not using that anymore. Let's delete that direct debit. But I've got a system in place for making sure that I'm in total control of my costs. What's your system? What's your system for generating additional cash? So we've got multiple streams of income. So that if one stream of income is suffering at a certain point, or there's a change in the law, possibly by a UK government against landlords, because it doesn't seem to like landlords for some reason, and that's happened just recently, then I've still got multiple streams of income. So what's your system for generating additional cash? And then the investing part, I've got a system for investing my cash. So the difference between what I save and what I make, that goes into investing. Now, for you, it could be it's going into paying down consumer debt, and part of that could be going into investing because we're in it for the long term. But it's all about you getting systems. And so this is why most people fail at generating wealth. They're first of all not doing the cutting of the costs. They're not looking at how they can generate additional cash. They're not investing in the long-term wealth. And they've got zero systems in place. They just wake up and hope for the best. They meander through the day and hope that something good's going to come out of it instead of planning something good. Planning is where it's at, and putting these systems is where it's at as well. Okay, that's it for today. I hope that's a useful podcast for you. I'd love to get your feedback. As ever, come and find me on daniellatto.co.uk. We've got lots of videos. Come and watch them. Comment. I love feedback, even negative feedback. If you've got some negative feedback, we'll have an argument about it. Awesome. I had a guy on YouTube who said, "You suck," which I thought was lovely, constructive feedback there. So I've asked him, "How do I suck exactly?" But he's refused to respond to that. But I don't mind people, you know, I don't mind the trolls. People say, "Don't feed the trolls." I'm happy to feed the trolls. So come and find me on Facebook. Come and speak to me on my website. And we'll speak to you in the next podcast or on one of my videos. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.